Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to our show. It is Monday afternoon and the Saints won, but, yeah, I know, there's a big but there. They won, and I'm glad they won. You're glad they won. Saints fans are glad that they won. But the Saints have to play better. And, I know they're going to do better against Atlanta. I mean, they have to. And so maybe we shouldn't get nervous, or as nervous as we get, when the Saints have a down game, even if they win. You know, if the Saints technically, if the Saints play to the level of their opponent and win, then on the scoreboard and in the stats, it doesn't matter whether they play good games or bad games. But as a fan, it's discouraging because if the Saints had been playing any other team but the Browns, they would not have won that. And the play was so sloppy, as Drew Brees even admits, that there's no way they would have won that game. They certainly gave the Browns many opportunities to win, even toward the end when the Saints went ahead. And then the defense, on 4th and 5, the defense gets beaten deep. And the Browns score a touchdown and go ahead. And so the Saints win, but they give them a chance to come down and kick a field goal. And the field goal kicker, there have been a lot of jokes going around. I'm not... Well, the one big joke that I created back in the, I guess, the early 80s was about Saints place kicker Russell Erksleben, who was just a kicking disaster. I think he was a number one choice out of the University of Texas. And Erksleben was the punter and the place kicker. And he was with the Saints from 79 to 83. And, I mean, I've got this really great joke that I could probably give to some of the Cleveland talk show hosts. But I don't want to tell the joke because it's about suicide. And suicide has become such a major issue in our country. It's not that it was an issue back then. And I'm not always worried about being politically correct. But in this case, I don't want to tell the joke again. But at the time, it was really funny. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Saints win, or was it the Browns losing that really led to the Saints' victory? And we're also talking about a library director in West Virginia started a controversy when she refused to put Bob Woodward's new book, Fear, Trump in the White House, in the library. Now, the head of the Morgan County Public Library System in West Virginia overruled, and there are now 2 copies of Fear, Trump in the White House, available in that library. And even if you're a Trump supporter, you have to agree. Nobody can argue that that book should not be in the library. We're also talking about Louisiana Republican Congressman Clay Higgins introducing a resolution to make senators and representatives subject to drug testing every term. You think that's a good idea? If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon about anything we're talking about, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870. Our text is 870-870. And we've been talking about whether or not it's wrong for Saints fans to boo the Saints if they're not playing well. That's also our Blue Runner Foods poll. Give us your opinion at WWL.com. From Tarrytown, Kent, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Scoot. First time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate that.
I disagree with your comments in kind of classifying somebody with alcohol versus recreational drugs. What concerns me, Scoot, is that in 2017, 75% of all vehicular deaths was caused by either recreational drugs or alcohol. I don't think you can classify one being legal and one is illegal.
Well, that wasn't my point, Kent. My point was not about legal or illegal. My point was about the idea that somebody could have, and look, I'm not a pot smoker, but somebody could have smoked pot 2 weeks ago and show positive signs of being on pot, and they would get busted when they're not stoned. You can show up at work the next day with a really, really bad hangover and be a danger to those around you.
Well, Scoot, I was a regional manager for a very large company. And in that case, if you were tested and you had recreational drugs, you were immediately terminated. And on the same token, if you were tested due to the fact that you appeared to be drunk on a job, you were likewise.
Well, but how many people do you know that went to work with a really bad hangover? I mean, like a really bad hangover, like nausea, like a pounding migraine headache. How many people do you know over the years went to work that way?
Seldom.
Seldom. Okay.
Seldom.
So, but you know that does happen.
Well, like I said, if you're a good manager, a supervisor, and you look your people over prior to going on the job, like I said, normally that person does not clock in. And I mean, I'm just saying it's a fine line, and maybe not all companies operate that way.
Yeah.
But the company that I operated with, we had no tolerance for either. If somebody was under the influence of either alcohol or drugs, you didn't get a second chance.
But Ken, you do understand that there is much more hysteria over somebody that smoked pot 2 weeks ago than somebody that really got blasted drunk the night before.
I agree.
Okay, that was my point.
I agree with that. And I'm also a retired military. And back in the 70s, 80s, everything associated around alcohol. And there's different today, but that's how it was back in those days.
Ken, I have to leave it there, but I appreciate you taking time to call us.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And like I said, you got a great program.
All right, Ken.
Thank you.
And it's okay if we don't always agree. I saw Zach Strief walking down the hall, called him into the studio. Zach, I just want to take a moment to tell you, you're doing a phenomenal job. I mean, you're really doing a great job with the play-by-play.
Well, I appreciate that, Scoot, especially coming from you. You know, when I listen to it, it drives me nuts. I keep having people tell me, you know, you have to get used to hearing your own voice. But and I'm sure for everybody it's hard because it's not Jim's voice, you know, and that's what they're used to. But I feel like every week it's getting a little bit better, a little bit smoother, and I'm really excited for the future, and I think we can make it really great.
Well, what I love, and I you know, when your name first came up, I remember I was doing something live on Facebook with you from your brewery bar.
Yeah.
And I said one of the interesting things about you doing play-by-play would be having – somebody doing play-by-play who actually played the game, because the things that you don't know about broadcasting, you can learn. The things that you know about the game cannot be taught to a broadcaster.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly, I think, there's things that I see and hear that it's funny. You look for that, like, fine line between doing play-by-play and making sure that that's what's paramount, and also adding in some of that information that I have. And
yeah.
You know, but I think that's the fun part of it, and I think that's the part that will expand as we go on, and hopefully everybody is no longer worried that I'm going to give away all the plays before they happen on the field.
Well, you know, Jim Henderson did a great job, and he was such an institution. But you know, I wrote an open letter to you before you started, and we posted that, and it was about you know, don't worry about the criticism, and people need to understand that. You're not Jim Henderson, but Jim Henderson started out new at 1.2. And with all due respect for Jim Henderson, and I love the guy, you know, you need to be given a fair shot. I love the excitement. I mean, you're putting a lot into it. I also love the fact that an offensive lineman is in the booth. And so you're bringing, like, a lot of attention to that part of the team that doesn't get much attention.
Well, first of all, I read the open letter. As a matter of fact, I was in the car. I remember I was driving to the brewery, and I heard you read the open letter on the air, and I really did appreciate it. And you know, it means a lot, and I've had several broadcasters like yourself with years and years of experience that have just been tremendous. And if there's one thing I was used to going into this job, it was criticism. The end of my career was great, and I feel like there's been a lot of people have been so positive with me as my career ended up. But there was about a 10-year period there at the beginning that it was, you know, always the guy that they want to replace. And That's just something, and you know too. I mean, you get it on this show, yep. You know, relentlessly, and it's just it comes with the territory, and that's okay. It doesn't bother me. People that are close to me and people that I trust their opinions. You know, I listen to that, and I continue to do the best I can. What's ironic about having an offensive lineman's perception or perspective? We're watching the game this week. Teron Armstead's playing against Myles Garrett. Had a huge game last week. Number one overall pick 2 years ago. Really talented pass rusher. And he is playing his tail off. I mean, we don't say Myles Garrett's name the entire day. As a matter of fact, the one tackle that he does have is on the backside of a running play, and Teron's not blocking him. So he plays tremendous. I was terrified all day to say it because in the preseason – on two occasions, I made comments about the offensive line doing well, and we gave up sacks after both of the comments. So I'm like a little bit afraid now. I said I was never, superstitions as a player, but now as a broadcaster, I do. So I was afraid to even bring it up. But he played great, and hopefully I get over that soon. So I can.
Well, that's
about
interesting, and you know, I mean, if a running back does well, I mean, certainly there are yards gained past the line of scrimmage. But you know, so often it's getting through the line of scrimmage that gives him an opportunity to be a star, and the guys who open up that opportunity really are the, you know, they're doing the dirty work, and they don't get the attention they deserve.
Sure, it's a little bit of a. I don't want to call it thankless because we get paid, so you do get that. But it is such a big part of football, and anybody that really knows and understands football understands that really on both sides of the ball, if the guys on the lines don't play well, it doesn't matter how fast your receiver is or how good your quarterback is, or it just doesn't matter because they never have an opportunity to make a play and use those skills. So we're very lucky here that the Saints offensive line is tremendous. And I think already to this point in the year, I think those guys have played well up front and they'll continue to. And so I'll continue to try to point them out. But I also, in the back of my mind right now, I'm like, oh, don't say anything good about them because you never know what comes right after that comment.
I just wanted to spend a moment with you and tell you publicly that you're doing a great job. And I love the excitement in your voice. And I love the way you've, you know, that's not something that I do. I mean, I've been in this business a long time, but I don't do play-by-play, and I never aspire to do play-by-play. And so I admire anybody that can do play-by-play. And, man, you're doing it, and you're doing a great job. And as far as listening back and criticizing yourself, I mean, to this day, I can listen back on one of my shows and go, man, dude, you suck. I mean, I'll go, man, why did you do it that way? Why did you say that? Yeah. So don't take that too seriously.
Listen, it was no different than being a player. You have a game, and it might be the best game of your life, and there's like, man, there was a block on that fourth play, and I didn't, you know what I mean? It's like you can always find something, and yet at the same time, as much as you don't want to be hard on yourself, it's best, I think, really to have that mindset because you're constantly looking for a way to improve and get better, and you know that'll go on forever as a play-by-play guy because you never are going to go through a broadcast and say, oh, I never messed anything up.
No, that's interesting because I can have a great show. The lines can be lit up. I can get tons of texts, and people can say, you did a great show. If I don't think it was a great show, I'm having a bad day.
There's no question.
Zach, you're doing a great job, man. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Thanks, Scoop. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, if you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. Here's a quick update on our Blue Runner Foods poll. Is it wrong to boo the Saints when they're not playing well? 77% say no. 23% say yes. Give us your opinion at WWL.com. And there's a live Facebook conversation going on WWL Radio right now about that very topic. You can get involved in that conversation. I'll be involved in it later. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Look, I know this isn't very nice, but it's appropriate. I found out that this is a song that Browns place kicker Zane Gonzalez was singing. He was singing this song right after the game. Yeah, he did. He's out of a job. Man, it's tough. I mean, it's tough when the focus is on you and you blow it. I mean, we've all blown it in life. When you're on that kind of stage and you blow it, it's bad. I mean, obviously, this kicker has the physical ability to kick, or he wouldn't have gotten to that point in his life. And so often, whether it's sports or work, so often what we deal with is psychological. And that's part of what I talked to Rich Motti about, former Saint player. right after the game yesterday, as I saw him walking out of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, spent a few minutes with him live on Facebook. And I'm going to play back that conversation that I had with Rich coming up right after the news. Here's a text that says, did the Boo Birds bother Zach Strief as a player? Zach heard me read the poll, the Blue Runner Foods poll, which is it wrong for fans to boo the Saints when they're not playing well? As he was walking out of the studio, and then when I cut the mic off, he stayed in the studio and said, it is totally fine for the fans to boo the Saints. And I think it is. And I got a text here that says, well, what is accomplished by booing? Well, what is accomplished by cheering? I mean, theoretically, the players are paid to play. We could just sit there and be totally quiet and not even cheer. They're supposed to do their job, and they should do the job whether we cheer or not. That should not even be an impact on, that should not have an impact on them. But cheering is part of the game. And if cheering is part of the game, then booing is also part of the game. And I think it's okay to express disapproval when somebody is not living up to their expectation. If your child should have gotten an A or a B and they got a D, you can argue, well, hey, my kid didn't fail. But you don't fail to point out that your kid should have done better to reach his or her potential. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Yeah, I mean, the Saints got lucky. Hey, but it still counts as a win. If you're on hold, hang on. I'll get to your calls here in just a moment. So far this season, both home games, I've been live right outside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome getting fan reaction live on our WWL Radio Facebook page right after the game. And yesterday's reaction was, it's still posted at WWL Radio, was pretty consistent. You know, there were a few fans that were just happy that the Saints won and that they didn't care about anything else. But most of the fans said, hey, I'm happy for the win, but, and then they went on to talk about the but, which is they really didn't play that well. Well, I saw Rich Marty, and, you know, Rich and I lived not far from each other a few years back, and our wives knew each other. And as I became friends with him, I mean, I remember when Michael was born. I mean, I remember watching Michael crawl around in his playpen when he was born. So it's really kind of a reminder of how time passes when I see him now, you know, as a grown man. But I thought Rich Marty had some really interesting things and some rather profound things to say about the Saints, the game yesterday, and about the emotion in the game of football. So when I saw Rich, I said, hey, Rich, come over here and talk to me for a minute.
Hey, Scoot, that's unbelievable. I mean, those are the kinds of games, though. Everyone's going to look at it and say, oh, they didn't play great and they got lucky. But that's the kind of game you got to win a Super Bowl. You got to win some games you're not supposed to. Maybe you're not playing your best. And give them kudos and credits for coming out here and rebounding from last week, which was tough. You got to give the Saints a lot of credit. You also got to give Cleveland a lot of credit for coming in and giving a game.
Rich, what is this? What does this do to the players? How do players feel after a game like this?
This is almost like a light switch, you would think. I think they were a little soft last week. I don't think they were focused. Might have been reading their press clippings a little bit. Everyone says Super Bowl, Super Bowl. It's a long way to get to the Super Bowl. But a game like this says, okay, guys, you know, we came close. We got a little scare. Now let's get after it and get going. So I think this is an excellent motivator for that Saints team.
So is it reasonable to think that players do sometimes have a subconscious sense of the buzz around them?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's all about, look, everybody can lift weights and everybody runs as fast as the next guy. It's all in the head, and it's how you approach things. It's how close you are as a team together and being able to overcome the adversities that they did last week. So it's all those factors. Most of them are mental, though.
And could this be a launching pad?
Without question. Yeah, now they get into some pretty tough, you know, everyone in the beginning of the year is looking at a 2-0 start with Tampa and Cleveland thinking, you know, we should win those games. There's no easy games in the NFL. But they're getting into some tough schedule, but I think they're going to be fine.
All right, thanks for spending time. Always good to see you, Rich.
You too, Scoot. Great to see you. Great to have you back in town again. Awesome.
Great to see you. Rich Marty right after the Saints game, live outside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I'm Scoot for WWL Radio.
And that was yesterday, right after the game. And I got a text here that says, Scoot, great trivia. Ironically, Rich Marty's first NFL touchdown was against the Browns back in 1978. From New Orleans, Cynthia, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show. Hello, Cynthia. All right, we'll check back with her in just a moment. An interesting thing happened on this day in 1983. Vanessa Williams of New York became the first black contestant to be crowned Miss America. So she became the first black contestant to be crowned Miss America. The following July, she was also, she lost her crown. The following July, she became the first Miss America to resign in the wake of the Penthouse magazine scandal. Remember that? She was with another woman and posed in Penthouse magazine, and she lost her Miss America title. Isn't it interesting that that's the best thing that could have happened to her for her career? She's a beautiful woman. That would have never changed. She still is beautiful. And Vanessa Williams would always have been the first black contestant to be crowned Miss America. But because of the controversy, she became so much bigger than that. And it's interesting how quite often people really do benefit from what some would say, my God, that's the worst thing that could have happened. But that article, the pictures, the pictorial coming up from the past about her posing in Penthouse with another woman, was the best thing that happened to her career. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Yesterday was the 54th anniversary of the Beatles playing at City Park Stadium. This was the last song they played at that concert. And a lot of white kids like me from the suburbs, and even the city at the time, we thought this was a Beatles song. No, this was Little Richard. The Beatles and the Stones and a lot of the British Invasion groups, they loved our R&B, and they took our R&B, added their new sound to it, and introduced white America to a lot of R&B hits like Twist and Shout, Roll Over Beethoven. Man, there were a lot of kids in America thought the Beatles wrote those songs, but they didn't. They just realized that there was a lot of great talent. I had a chance at Rockin' Bowl last night during a Rockin' for Richie fundraiser for a Parkinson's Foundation to have a conversation with Rob Schulte of the Top Cats, Vince Vance and the Valiants, and John Blancher, owner of Rockin' Bowl, about the Beatles' connection with R&B music and how much they love the New Orleans music scene. So a lot of interesting stuff, and that video is posted right now on the Scoot page at WWL Radio. So go to our website, WWL.com, and go to the top there, click on shows, click on my picture, and it's there along with a blog. From Metairie, Linda, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have been, my daughter and I have been speaking to the holders for 10 years now, and we pay good money for our tickets. We pay outrageous prices for the concessions. One player on the team makes more money than probably everybody else in a full house stadium make. And I think we deserve better. I think for the money they're being paid, all of them, they need to play 60 minutes of football,
yeah,
and they need to play 100% of their capacity. And
well, I agree. Look, it doesn't mean that they're not going to have down times. And you know, you can have lulls during a game, but when it comes to the overall game, Linda, I mean, I agree with you. And I mentioned earlier that in talking to one of the Cleveland Brown fans leaving, he was really excited because even though the Browns lost, they came that close to beating a team as good as the Saints, whereas a lot of Saints fans were disappointed even though they won because they almost lost to the Browns.
You know, maybe, Scoot, we're not as good as people have been trying to tell us we are good. Maybe we're not a team that's capable of getting to the Super Bowl this year.
Well, I think we are, Linda, and I thought it was really interesting when Rich Marty pointed out how, you know, everybody can work out, everybody can be strong. It really comes down to what's in your head. It comes down to the emotion. You can stack up the stats all you want, but, you know, there's always the David and Goliath syndrome, and, you know, David won because he had the inspiration. Go back to the Miracle on Ice, the 1980 Olympics, where the young U.S. Olympic team beat these professional Russian players who were essentially like the NHL. I mean, that was all spirit.
That's all well said. However, we cannot expect to play to go up against a Minnesota or a Green Bay or a New England and wait until the fourth quarter to pull out a game.
Well, that's right. We can't do that next week in Atlanta against the Falcons.
And I understand from someone who was there that they really looked darn good yesterday. So we're going to have our work cut out for us this weekend, and we deserve better. And the players need to know that, and they need to play with their hearts in it. They need to play 100%, 100% of the time.
Yeah, where's Cam Jordan? I mean, so many accolades in the off season and leading into this season. Where's Cam Jordan?
Where were all the running backs? We were supposed to have more running backs than we could have used during training camp.
They
were saying we had too many running backs.
Alvin Kamara took a beating. I mean, he carried so much of the running load in the game.
We can't expect him to do that every game.
Yeah, no, we can't. I'm sure he's sore today. Linda, I appreciate the call. Here's a text that says, this is about my comment about Vanessa Williams. She followed up all of that with being talented. That's a difference. A, she's incredibly beautiful. B, she sings beautifully. And C, she can act good enough for today's world. All of that's true. But there are so many people in Hollywood and around the country that are great looking, that can sing really, really well and can act. But I don't think there's any doubt that it was the mystique that surrounded Vanessa Williams concerning her losing the Miss America crown because she had appeared in Penthouse magazine with another woman. I don't think there's any doubt that that was the mystique that led to her getting so much attention. Here's an update on our Blue Runner Foods poll. Is it okay for fans to boo the Saints when they... No, is it wrong? Is it wrong for fans to boo the Saints when they're not playing well? 78% say no, it's not wrong. 22% say yes. Give us your opinion, WWL.com. We'll be back. God, whoever thought we would play this song after the Saints win a game? But come on, it was a bad day. They recognize it, so it's cool. And honestly, I expect the Saints to come out on fire next week in Atlanta. Let's hope they do, because if they play the way they've been playing, Atlanta's going to kill them. And man, who would have thought that Tampa Bay would be leading our division at this point? And the Patriots had a terrible day yesterday, and there was a lot of talk about Tom Brady not being able to play well in the intense heat. Game time temperature in Jacksonville was 97 degrees on the field. From New Orleans, Cynthia, welcome to our show.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good.
What I'm calling about, Peyton said maybe last year, if the Saints did perform, he was going to get rid of them. And I was happy when I heard him say that. But he's not a man to his word because he haven't did it.
Well, who do you think he should get rid of?
The ones who don't perform. Do they work? Do their job?
Cynthia, I don't think there's any doubt that some Saints didn't do their job yesterday, and they need to be the first ones to recognize that, and hopefully they did.
Well, I looked at the game. It was depressing.
Well, it's interesting that we're saying this after the Saints actually won.
I mean, I'm glad they won, but I mean, the guy coming from in the back of them and running past them and he didn't tackle him.
Well, you know, Cynthia, I'm going to have to leave it there, but I appreciate the call. You know, that is a problem when the guy run past you and you don't tackle him. That is a big problem. When it comes to football. Sports Talk, second guest show with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, live from the Silver Slipper Casino on the beaches in Hancock County, Mississippi. That's all. Second guest show is always a good excuse to go over there. Bobby will have a lot to say about the game. I heard much of the point after the game on WWL. He'll be talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Saints-Browns game. Also, LSU-Auburn. But, man, LSU, I was really impressed with Joe Burrow. He had a bad game, but did not let that dictate the rest of the game. And he came back and did a great job. And LSU in three games has gone from number 25 to number 6 in the country. So I think some of the questions about Coach O may be going away. Anyway, stay tuned for the second guest show coming up next. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, and our show producers, Helen Centani and Sheldon Williams, and our studio producer today, Ian Hoke. And thank you for being part of our show. And it was great talking to those of you who I met over the weekend. Have a great afternoon. We're back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave. I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.